This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We all have fears in life. Some of them are rational, others are not. Fear can inhibit us if we let it. A man in the Old Testament had a big reason to be afraid, and yet he chose not to give in to his fear. Stay with us as we learn how he dealt with his fear and how we too can apply this lesson to our lives.
If you are a person with a troubled soul whose life is being choked by fears, God's Word has some help for you today. Let's pray. All-knowing and all-powerful God, it is good to be with you in your word today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and salvation. Amen.
When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transport. With grace.
Dear friends, can you think of a childhood fear that you had? I can. I was afraid of my curtains when I was a child. They were striped curtains, and in the dark, when the moonlight shone through them, I actually thought they were snakes coming into my room, and I'd scream out loud and scare my mother and father as they'd hear me yelling. Some of our fears are, as kids, are kind of funny when we look back on them now. Shel Silverstein, who writes children's poetry, wrote this wonderful little thing I wanted to share with you called What If? Last night while I lay thinking here, some what ifs crawled inside my ear and pranced and partied all night long and sang their same old what if song. What if I'm dumb in school? What if they've closed the swimming pool? What if I get beat up? What if there's poison in my cup? What if I start to cry? What if I get sick and die? What if I flunk that test? What if green hair grows on my chest? What if nobody likes me? What if a bolt of lightning strikes me? What if I don't grow tall? What if my head starts getting small? What if the fish won't bite? What if the wind tears up my kite? What if they start a war? What if my parents get divorced? What if the bus is late? What if my teeth don't grow as straight? What if I tear my pants? What if I never learn to dance? And everything seems swell, and then the nighttime what-ifs strike again. The nighttime what-ifs don't leave us when we're children. But we oftentimes, when we hit adulthood, continue to carry those what-ifs into our lives. We have a variety of fears that many of us find ourselves living with. There's the fear of loss, for instance. Will I lose my job? Will I lose my finances? Will I lose my wife? Will I lose control over my life and have to move into assisted living or something like that? Will I lose my driver's license? There's all kinds of things like that that can keep us up at night worrying, asking what if this and what if that. And we wake up feeling tired the next day, don't we? There's also the fear of failure. Nobody wants to feel that they failed at something. I know that's a big one with me, taking on something that I might be in over my head. I don't want to embarrass myself, someone might reason. And so we resist sometimes taking on new challenges because, well, we're just kind of paralyzed by the fear of failure. Then there's a fear of rejection. What if people don't like me? And some people who live with that kind of fear are real people pleasers. They're captive to being a people pleaser. We want everyone to like us, so we'll maybe even find ourselves doing things and saying things that we don't believe in, but we'll do them anyway because we don't want to face rejection. That can be spiritually damaging to a person. Then there's the fear of the unknown. What if I die? What's going to happen to me? What if I lose my health and I can't take care of myself? Or what if my spouse loses her health or his health? And we live with a sort of spirit of dread and pessimism as we live with this fearful outlook on life. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but there's a lot of be not afraids and do not fears in the Bible. It seems to be an important thing for God to communicate to his people. It's like he knows that there are a lot of things that can cause us to fear. But again, and he says, don't. Trust me instead. For instance, we look into the Old Testament. We see Abraham, who's afraid that he's going to be killed because his wife Sarah is so beautiful. And they're in the land of Egypt. He just knows that the king of Egypt will kill him to get his wife. And so he lies. Or there's Moses, who was called out of the burning bush by God to go free his people from slavery in Egypt. And Moses said, what if they don't listen to me? What if they won't come? What if the Pharaoh won't give in? He was afraid. There's little Gideon in the book of Judges, who was called by God to save his people from the Midianites. And Gideon says, well, pick somebody else. I'm the smallest person in my little family and the smallest tribe. and weakest tribe of Israel. Surely there's somebody else. He was afraid. There's King David. He knew fear as he ran from King Saul out in the wilderness for many years, who was seeking to destroy his life. And then later on, he had to run again from his son Absalom, who tried to take over his kingdom from him. And we think of Elijah running from Jezebel for fear for his life. And then the people of Israel, weren't they constantly calling out in fear to God? Where are you leading us? Where are you taking us? We're going to starve to death. There's nothing to eat. There's nothing to drink, and so on. Again and again, they expressed fears towards God. And then we get to the New Testament. We again see the disciples, don't we, of Jesus, constantly calling out in fear. Jesus, we're drowning. Don't you care? They're fearing for their lives. And of course, we see Jesus experiencing that. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he's crucified for the sins of the world. Literally, in the Gospel of Luke, says he sweat blood. That's how great his anxiety was. Fear can do a real number on our souls, can't it? It can choke the life right out of us. It can stymie our spiritual growth and poison our souls with anxiety and worry and pessimism, and cause us to give in to things that are harmful for us. So how do I find my way out of being afraid, of living with fear inside of me? Well, I'm glad you asked. There is a story in the Old Testament that really speaks to this, about a fellow named King Hezekiah. We find this great story in 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19. Hezekiah was a great king after David's heart. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, Scripture tells us. He was obedient. He was filled with faith toward God. He got rid of all the false worshipers and so on, and the idols and so forth in his land. He went to battle again to win back some of the land from the Philistines and was successful. And Scripture records that wherever he went, he prospered. At one point, early on in his kingship, he even dared to stand up against the global bully called Assyria, who were taking over everyone. He said, "I will not pay tribute to you. We trust God to take care of us." And for some reason or another, the Assyrians left them alone for some time. But 14 years later, after that standing up to them, a crisis came along, as crises do in our lives. The new king of Assyria, named Sennacherib, got ticked off by this upstart king, Hezekiah. And he sent his army and took over the cities around Jerusalem with his army, and then surrounded Jerusalem. And before he could do anything more, Hezekiah sent word of apology to him and said, "What do you want? I'll pay." That Sennacherib said, "Give me 25,000 pounds of gold and silver," which Hezekiah actually did. He emptied the treasury. He stripped the gold off the doors in the temple. His faith was wavering a little bit, I guess. But then, as bullies typically do, that he decided he wanted more, this Sennacherib. He came back with a threat and a demand of surrender to Hezekiah. He made a big public display with his emissaries in front of everyone standing on the Jerusalem walls, and basically said this: "People, don't listen to Hezekiah. He's a terrible leader. And don't trust in the alliance that he made with Egypt, because we've already beaten up on Egypt. They can't help you. And then God, you can't rely on him. He won't help you. Look at how we've knocked off everybody else and their gods all around you. So give it up. And besides that, your God has turned his back on you and told me to destroy you." Well, of course, that's going to shake a person up to hear that kind of a threat, isn't it? Very intimidating. Well, when the emissaries of Hezekiah came back and reported to him these words, listen to what Hezekiah said. "When King Hezekiah heard this, He tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was in charge of the palace, and Shebna, the secretary, and the senior priests, covered with sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah. They said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Children have come to the birth, and there's no strength to bring them out. It may be that the Lord your God heard all the words of the Rabshakeh of Sennacherib, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to mock the living God, and will rebuke the words that the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left, Isaiah." When the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, "Say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have reviled me. I myself will put a spirit in him, so that he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." This is what Hezekiah did then. When he heard these words, of course it had to struck a note of fear in him. After all, what was he about to lose? Probably his kingdom, his job, and in all likelihood, his very head. He was under the gun, and he was obviously afraid. So the first thing he did was he admitted his fear. He tore his clothes. It's a sign of distress amongst the Jewish people in those days. He tore his clothes and openly admitted that he was upset. Next, he showed himself before the Lord. It says he put on sackcloth, which was a sign of humbling oneself before God. After all, we learn later on in the New Testament that God loves it when we humble ourselves. He will exalt us. And then he went to the house of the Lord, the temple, to do what? To pray, to turn all these fears over to God. He was seeking the Lord. Perhaps he did that out of remembering a verse from the Psalms that his hero, King David, wrote earlier, when he says in Psalm 34, "I sought the Lord, and he heard my cries and delivered me from all my fears." Not only did Hezekiah then admit his fear and humble himself before the Lord and seek the Lord out in prayer, he also sent his emissaries to Isaiah, the spokesman for God, who had a word of God for his people, and asked him to pray for them as well. He expressed the weakness and the humiliation and the disgrace and the distress that they were experiencing as a country, as he sent them to Isaiah to express that. He said, "Pray for us." And Isaiah's response was, "Listen, God says, don't be afraid because of the words you heard. I will send a spirit upon Sennacherib and confuse him with a rumor. I'll have him later on killed by a sword in his own land." And what did Hezekiah do? He trusted the Lord, because those messengers were sent back to their king with a negative response. "No, I won't surrender." It doesn't say that in Scripture. It's inferred, though, because the messengers then went back to King Sennacherib and told him they're not quitting. When King Sennacherib got word that Hezekiah was not surrendering, he wrote a letter to Hezekiah, a threatening letter saying, "Don't trust your God. Your God cannot help you. I've defeated all the gods of the world. Your God is no different. Don't trust him." And again, Hezekiah went to the house of the Lord, and he spread this intimidating, fearful note before the Lord, Scripture says, and he prayed. And he prayed, "O God, you are the God who reigns above the seraphim and the cherubim. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. And yes, Sennacherib has defeated all these other nations and their gods, but they aren't gods. They're nothing but wood and metal. Save Israel from this king, Sennacherib, and show the whole world that you alone are God. The next day, Isaiah the prophet sent word to King Hezekiah, a word from God. He said, Sennacherib is going down. Sennacherib, you're messing with the wrong person, and you're a goner. And Hezekiah, I will take care of you and your people. And again, Hezekiah refused to give in. You know what God did right after that? First, he delivered, after he delivered him from his fears with these words, with his promises, he then delivered Hezekiah and his people from Sennacherib and his army. That night, an angel of the Lord came upon the army of Sennacherib while they slept and destroyed 185,000 of them. The next morning, when Sennacherib awoke and saw all the corpses strewn about him, he ran for his life. A while later, he was in his own temple worshiping his God when his two sons came up behind him and assassinated him, stabbing him to death, just as the Lord had said. Have you ever asked yourself, after looking at a story like this, I wonder why God saved this little episode? It's entertaining and all, but what's the point he's trying to make? The point he's trying to make, dear people, is a point to his people that sometimes are filled with fear. It's a wake-up call to us. Your God is big. Your God is faithful. Your God is in charge. Put your fears in his hands. Fear not, for the Lord your God is with you. This God cares about you. He cares so much for you and for me. He gave his only begotten Son to die for us on a cross so that we might have eternal life with him. Yes, he cares. So here's what I want you to repeat after me today as you go into your week. First, my God is big. Next, my God is faithful. And finally, my God is in charge. Take that to the bank and build your life on that. Amen.
I've had many tears and sorrow. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to make me strong.
I've learned to trust in God. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. You see, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't even know God could solve it. I'd never know what faith in his word could do.
I've learned to trust in God.
Through it all.
I've learned to depend upon His word. I've learned to depend upon His word.
Let's pray. Father, you know how fear sometimes takes over in our lives and causes us to live with worry and dread, and how bad that is for our souls. Help us to remember this story of Hezekiah as we walk through life so that we might trust you in all things. In Jesus' name we ask this, amen. Now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May He go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you His peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will help strengthen you in your daily walk. Christian Crusaders has been blessed throughout our 78-year history with generous and faithful listeners who have supported this ministry with their prayers and financial gifts. If you're able, please consider making a contribution to this ministry so we can continue to grow and serve, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to listeners on 27 stations across the country. Memorial gifts, for instance, allow you to honor the memory of someone special to you while supporting Christian Crusaders' mission at the same time. Memorial gifts can be directed to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. If you know someone who might enjoy Christian Crusaders, please tell them about this program. They can find out more about this ministry, as well as listen anytime from anywhere in the world on ChristianCrusaders.org. If you'd like a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day and pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders since 2005. Christian Crusaders is now in its 78th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.